Welcome to Classy Ring Attire, where we try to classy up this whole wrestling thing. I'm Chris.
I'm Joel.
And, wow, so many interesting things to talk about. Did I sell that this, enough?
This is not a good week.
I'm totally lying. No.
This is...
Remember that pocket of suck that we talked about last week? Yeah, that really applied.
It was, oh man. Like,
the most important things from this week happened off the shows.
Like, yes.
Unplanned things. You know, nothing on the show that was interesting at all.
I'm becoming worried with each passing week about the impending 3 hours. 3 hour Raws. It's like, it's a threat instead of a reward. They're just like,
I mean, my biggest hope is it's, you know, later in the summer when that starts. It's what, late July, right?
Yeah. July 23rd.
So I'm hoping by then we have something interesting happen to kind of jumpstart us into the summer, because, you know, that's what we've got in the past couple weeks, you know, the whole Nexus thing, Punk, whatever.
Right.
Always happened towards the early parts of the summer. So hopefully we'll get that soon, and by the time we get 3 hour shows in, you know, started, we'll have something to go off of.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, this is always one of the worst parts of the year. Like,
oh yeah, like 2 hour shows, 3 hour shows, it doesn't matter. This time of year is literally a pocket of suck.
Yeah. And so, you know, and as surprisingly good as both Extreme Rules and Over the Limit were, like, I feel like I should curb my complaining, but this was a bad week.
I mean, yeah.
But you know what? No, I'm not gonna. This is a bad week.
Yeah, there's no code in it.
So
should we just jump into, Raw, or should we just jump into what's most interesting right now?
Let's start with the most interesting. Well, obviously, because, yeah, the biggest story is that Chris Jericho was suspended.
Non-storyline, totally.
Yeah, for real.
Legit.
At first, indefinitely, but it's been for 30 days. He's been suspended for 30 days for kicking a Brazilian flag while they were on tour in Brazil.
And apparently that is a big no-no.
Yeah.
Brazilian citizen or not.
Yeah.
Basically, from what I heard, there was video of it, but I didn't, by the time I heard about it, all those videos got taken down. From what I hear, like, the local police basically were going to arrest him unless he, you know, publicly apologized or something like that.
Right.
And of course he did, you know, right there on the spot, and, you know, he complied with everything after that point. And then, you know, he left the tour immediately, left the country immediately.
Yeah.
So what do you think, Joel? Is the suspension thing even needed?
I mean, it's a thing where it's so obvious that he was, you know, in character doing this. He's trying to get a rise from the crowd.
And he's better at that than anyone doing just about anything.
Right.
How is he supposed to know is my biggest question. Like, how is he supposed to know that doing that would be illegal? I mean, yeah, it crosses a certain line. Like, you know, even Americans would get kind of bent out of shape if they saw someone doing that.
Right.
You know, I mean, a lot of people pointed to all the stuff that Shawn Michaels used to do to the Canadian flag back in the day.
Right. I mean, there was a thing at a house show a while back where, I don't remember who, but somebody interrupted, I think, the national anthem, and they got in big trouble for that.
No, the writer.
Yeah, that's why.
In charge. Because it was Finlay.
Yeah, that's why,
yeah,
that's why he ended up leaving the company.
And he had Miz. Because
he okayed the spot for. Was it Miz who interrupted the.
I believe so, it was the Miz.
So,
That happen. I don't remember what the backlash was, but I do remember. And it's a famous gif now on the internet of JBL goose stepping on the apron of the ring while they were in Germany.
Yeah.
I do know he got a lot of many slaps on the wrist for that one. But this one is like, yeah, he shouldn't have done it, but he pretty much did what he was supposed to as far as the Brazilian, you know,
getting the crowd to react. Forces. Yeah.
Yeah.
And as soon as the police force came out, like, yeah, he definitely...
He dropped it, and he apologized on that. He apologized to Twitter. He apologized to everyone.
Yeah, he did. He did everything right. I think the suspension is just WWE, you know, covering all their bases.
Right.
You know,
they're covering a number of things. First of all, they're kind of making an example out of Jericho and be like, okay, you can't cross this line no matter where we are.
Right.
And also covering their bases for, you know, maybe coming back to Brazil. They don't want any, you know, hard feelings, so to speak. They were like, hey, we dealt with this guy. We, you know, made an example out of him.
Yeah.
So, you know, let us back in.
I mean, bottom line is, like, I can't blame WWE. I think they did what they needed to do.
Right.
It wasn't really out of proportion, because it's 30 days, which is, all in all, a little more than a slap on a wrist for something like this.
Right.
And it's Chris Jericho, you know, Evan Bourne's career is over because of a 30-day suspension. Chris Jericho is going to be just fine.
Well, know. I don't know about the 30-day suspension. The 60-day suspension, maybe. But that's, I mean...
But I'm saying that, yeah, Chris Jericho is not going to
like,
really
a 30-day
suffer.
Suspension, you know, killed R-Truth's momentum.
Right.
But he still has a career, and he's, you know, made the most out of it when he came back.
Right.
But
I mean, when Chris Jericho comes back, he's going to get just as loud a pop as...
Do you think he's actually going to come back, or do you think he's just going to go straight to tour?
It depends on how much...
Close to that. It's getting close to that time, yeah.
Yeah, it depends on how much time they had left on the contract anyway. Right. So, but, I mean, that's the thing is, like, even if it was 30 days, 30 days is almost long enough for him to get... a face, we're just excited your back pop. You know, that could be the worst thing out of all this is that they get an unwanted face turn for CM Punk. But it's, you know, we don't get to see Chris Jericho fight Randy Orton, which was the plan.
Which I'm not, you know, I'm not going to lose sleep over.
It's yeah, not... it would have been cool, but...
Yeah, I mean, but we've seen him before,
yeah.
You know? Part of the allure with him and CM Punk is, I mean, they've had small matches here and there, but nothing of that magnitude.
Right.
You know, no full-fledged, you know,
nothing like they had.
Anything like that. Yeah.
And so, and it's looking like, based on Raw, there's possibility that Randy Orton will be feuding with Miz next, which is good for Miz. I mean,
we'll see. I don't know if that is, or it's just, you know, Randy Orton was just the storyline would go that he just got annoyed with whoever was in the ring and he just came out and RKO'd him like it was nothing.
Well, at least Miz is jobbing to people higher up on the card now. Baby steps.
Baby steps to jobbing. Fair enough.
So,
well, I guess moving along, another thing that I wanted to talk about and also is probably bigger news than the actual show itself. Pretty much we get this whole Revolution thing revealed, and it's just a big kind of womp womp.
Just, I know, right? Wasn't that a...
Just someone just sitting on a whoopee cushion of life, and it's just nothing. It's just... basically, if you haven't heard yet, the Revolution videos that was featured on WWE.com for days, and everyone was excited about what was happening, that it was going to be the... Just the... whatever.
Yeah, it felt like it was a big, mysterious viral push. You know, it kind of echoed into the January 2nd things.
What it was?
It was WWE
a promotion
13.
For the video game, which looks exactly like the graphics in WWE 12.
Yeah, which... I mean...
It's just terrible. Yeah, I wanted to talk about this because I know me and you have plenty in the chamber against THQ.
Yeah.
I mean, and this is not a video game podcast, so you don't have to change the station or anything. But dear God, like, and I'm not an expert by any means, but I can't stand the graphics.
Right.
And I mean, like, I always knew playing some of these, the wrestling games, that something, they were good, but something seemed off, and I couldn't really place it. And then last year, when WWE 12 was coming out, you found the split screen photo.
Yeah, it was Booker T in the WWE 12, and it was Booker T in the TNA Impact game, which came out in 2008.
Right, and which was 4 years before it, and it looks so much better, so much more realistic, and so much more polished.
Yes.
And that was 2008.
Yeah. And the thing is, they have, you know, Lawler hawking this video game like there's no tomorrow, and the only thing he knows how to say is it looks exactly like real life, because Lawler has no concept of gameplay or anything
else.
Which
is upsetting, because he's an artist.
Yeah. But he has no concept, it seems, of what goes into make a good video game, so all he can talk about are how realistic the graphics are. Which is,
I mean,
completely untrue. It's the game's greatest flaw.
I mean, it's what he's, you know, fed to say.
Yeah.
You know, it's just...
it just hurts.
It's upsetting that they we kind of got our hopes up for that. But, I mean, that's, you know, that's pretty much what WWE does nowadays.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's...
Can't fault them for marketing. Like, they know how to get me to talk about something.
You know, CM Punk on the cover is a logical choice, but the only bad thing about that is now that CM Punk is on the cover, he can't really, you know, probably say what he really thinks about the game.
Yeah.
I mean, not that any one of the superstars really could.
Right.
So I remember, like, interviews in the past where he would go on and be like, oh, this is a fantastic video game, and it's like, dude, really? Come on. I could see the pain in your eyes.
Yeah.
Just saying that, you know.
Oh, so, but see, the my biggest problem is we're going to get, like, from now till October, we're going to get weekly talks about how good this video game is, and we're going to get those backstage segments where people are playing the video game.
The next three pay-per-views are going to be sponsored by this video game.
It's, oh, man. Oh, boy.
And we're going to get so many images on it, and we're going to get so many... And if there are any guest stars, they're going to be like, oh, we created this guest star on the video game. Look at him there, you know.
Yep. So.
It's going to be so campy and so stupid, but that's the WWE but, for you.
Yeah, brace yourselves. It happens once a year. It's, you know.
Yep.
So, anyway, on to Raw, the Raw of nothing.
Do we really have to?
We can do this Raw in like 3 minutes. So,
okay.
Big Show talks, it was boring.
Blah, blah.
This happens.
Tag team match. Ziggler might be breaking.
I'm
away
a little excited
Slayer.
About that. I will say I'm.
And I'm excited. I mean, I'm a little excited that he's sticking with Vicky a little bit because he's, you know, we saw him later and he was like, you know, I want to break away, and she'll be like, I'll see what I can do.
I'm excited. You know? I'm excited. He seems to be he's with a heel. Like, my biggest fear was that they would break apart. There'd be one or two pay-per-view matches between Ziggler and Swagger. Ziggler would turn face and then kind of fade away into nothing.
Yeah, well, I mean, the problem with that, I feel it's like there was really no big connection between the two other than Vicky. Like, you
right.
know, they started off not liking each other. They didn't really, you know, team up all that much up until recently.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they were just kind of in each other's corners almost because it seemed like they had to be.
Yeah.
You know, so I wasn't really thinking that they would lead to some sort of feud.
Well, it's, I mean... I think, like, I'm okay with him sticking with Vicky, but I don't think he needs Vicky anymore.
No.
I think
no,
Vicky could be better served elsewhere.
And that's what I was worried, because there was rumors going around a couple weeks ago that he was going to get a bodyguard, and it was going to be Mason Ryan, and then Mason Ryan does the whole, like, signing with the whole AW stable. Yeah. I was worried that he was going to jump ship with Vicky and go to AW and basically just, you know, dump a manager for another manager. And
right.
He doesn't need... manager.
No, he's figured out how the mic works, and he does a great job on it, so.
Yes.
So that was one exciting thing. The only other exciting thing of the evening was the CM Punk Daniel Bryan match, which was a quality free match. Like,
oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Especially to see all the other matches that exist on the weekly show. Like, this one really, it obviously wasn't, as, you know, at the caliber they did at the pay-per-view, but I don't expect that. I'm happy. I'm totally fine with that.
The worst thing about this match is that we could have gotten it 21 days ago when we were there.
Yes.
But I will say this. It might have been a bad Raw overall, but no Lord Tensai, or Tensai, or whatever they're calling them.
No Tensai.
And I'm always okay with that. I'm always okay with the Tensai-free Raw, which means we'll probably get them next week, but I'm enjoying it while it lasts.
But they're starting to experiment with no Tensai, which, you know,
yeah.
The sooner they squash this character.
You know, it's whatever.
Yeah.
As long as he doesn't, you know, end up on Raw or end up on NXT, I'm good.
Yeah, I can see that.
He can go on SmackDown. Nobody watches it. I don't watch it.
So I have to make a side note here. I think SmackDown might be the worst wrestling on television, the worst wrestling show on television.
And see, it's such a shame because there was a point in time, like, I think last year or in the years past, where they would have moments where it was like, well, that was really cool. I mean, this is interesting that they're doing it here. And then it would just kind of tail into nothing.
Yeah. No, SmackDown has always been the B show to Vince's baby. You know, there's always been clear favoritism to Raw. But at one point, you know, you go back in the heyday when, you know, SmackDown was a big deal.
Yeah. Because everyone was on both shows, and I don't know if they were done live. I can't remember. Probably not.
They had occasional lives.
By and large.
But because, I mean, it's because of the Super Show. It's because so much happens on Raw. All the big SmackDown stories get further on Raw, so that SmackDown is 2-hour mid-card stuff.
Right back squashing someone.
Yeah.
But I mean, that gives opportunities like, you know, Damian Sandow, which I will watch his stuff.
Yeah.
To no end.
I mean, that was exciting to see him, you know, supposedly take a step up to a higher show. But
who was he up against on SmackDown?
I don't even remember, because his wrestling was not the exciting part. It was his talking.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
I don't remember who he was there for. I think he was Yoshi, wasn't he? Yoshitatsu?
Yeah, and I just remember he did, I can't remember what the move was, but he did it and basically just stood right up.
Like,
holy crap, that dude is freaking awesome.
But, I mean, I don't watch every show every week, but
I haven't watched it the past couple weeks.
You know, but there are the occasional weeks where I will watch, you know, I'll find the time and I'll hit Raw, NXT, SmackDown, Superstars, and Impact. All, you know, the whole gauntlet.
You are a brave soul.
And SmackDown's the worst. And
wow, worse than Impact.
Worse than Impact. I mean, that's the thing, is like, Impact is not impressive, but it does have, like, as far as the actual wrestling on the show is concerned, it's fine weekly wrestling. These are guys that know how to move in a ring. The worst part of Impact is the stories. But they're throwing their best stuff up against the wall, and their best stuff is better than WWE's, you know, bottom of the barrel stuff, which is all SmackDown is anymore. And so
yeah.
I think I would rather watch Impact than SmackDown at this point. Which is weird statement to say.
yeah, because we don't talk about Impact much here.
No.
I mean, I've seen a couple shows here and there, and I can't.
There's a few things they do right. They treat their knockouts, which are their divas, they treat that as an actual division, which is nice.
Right.
And there's this thing that they did this year called the Bound for Glory series, the Road to Glory. I don't remember. It was a lead-in to get a championship match at Bound for Glory, which is their big pay-per-view. And it was basically your matches on the weekly show gave you points, you know.
Yeah.
X number of points for pin, X number of points for submission. And so it made me care about those weekly matches, which are nothing on Raw. You know, it's this guy fighting this guy for no reason. And unless it's something like this week, it was Daniel Bryan and CM Punk. And I'll watch them wrestle for funds of wrestlings. You know, but there's not a lot of people I'll get invested in a match without any stipulations.
Yeah, without nothing at stake.
Right. And so to have something at stake for every match on a show for several weeks was a good move.
Yeah.
And so I wish, you know, I'm sure that WWE does not care what TNA is doing. But
I
wish that they would at least acknowledge that there's this other company. And some of the stuff they're doing that's different is actually a good thing. And there's no reason not to copy it.
Well, I mean, whether or not they want to publicly acknowledge it, they're going to have to with, you know, the whole lawsuit and thing.
What is this lawsuit?
What I gathered, and, you know, I'm no legal mind, so if this comes off incredibly ignorant, just whatever, screw you. it was supposed to be a polite disclaimer, but then I just kind of gave up.
Whatever. Raw was terrible this week. Not
whatever,
in the mood.
Whatever. Suck it. Basically, the lawsuit is claiming that WWE tried to get some inside information on their company by hiring certain people and basically getting what they want out of them and firing them. I believe that's pretty much the gist of it. But it's going to be something that's just probably going to be settled out of court and just... Yeah.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you never know. I don't know if these are the kind of specialty cases that Otunga's used to, but I'm pretty sure he could weigh in.
I get a lot more interested if Otunga would show up and do this.
I would be too. And he has a pretty good win-loss record, from what I understand.
Yeah, his actual legal record is really good, so maybe they could at least get his expertise.
Yeah, they could always have him weigh in.
And so,
you know, I mean, they're already paying the guy.
I will say, like, one of the shining moments of Raw this week was when Eve asked Teddy for some coffee, and her tongue just threw in this, "I'm good. I have my coffee."
I didn't even catch that.
It was a bright moment in the
I mean, he is a coffee connoisseur, so he wouldn't really trust anyone to get him coffee.
He had his own coffee.
I didn't even think about that.
I will say, I am quite pleased with that little trio now. They've actually really grown on me with Laurinaitis, Otunga.
Laurinaitis, Eve, and Otunga. Yeah. Okay.
So, I would be content with them being in charge for a while.
As long as those three stay intact. Because when it was just Laurinaitis and Eve, it was kind of obnoxious. Now that Otunga's back, yeah, I can agree with you. It might have more to do with Otunga and less about the, you know, the three.
Yeah, that's possible. But, I could
you
see...
You just missed your Otunga, that's all it was.
Miss Otunga. How do I miss Otunga?
I know, right? We're actually wanting him to have a title now. We're wanting them to have the U.S. championship.
This crazy messed up world where Otunga's entertaining Impact is better than SmackDown and NXT is the best thing that WWE is doing.
Though NXT is the best thing in wrestling today.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can we hark back for a moment to like the first one or two episodes of NXT where it was, and before we even knew that this was all basically a ploy for the Nexus storyline.
When Daniel Bryan was being trained by The Miz.
Oh, man.
When Wade Barrett was being trained by Jericho, and Darren Young was getting trained by CM Punk. And he still had his, like, you know, just weird-looking afro,
like,
thing, and he wanted to be a party boy. Yeah, and it was middle of CM Punk's Straight Edge Society thing.
Yeah. Oh, man. I remember, like, I think I tuned in at the beginning of every quote unquote season of NXT, right. And it like just disappointed me every time.
Yeah.
And so, but anyway,
Oh God, that's what, like 2 years ago.
Yeah, it's been a long time. That's when ECW ended.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Was to make way for NXT.
And Ezekiel Jackson was the last ECW champion.
Was Ezekiel Jackson the last one?
Yeah.
Because he won it. He won the championship like the last episode or something, didn't he?
Yeah, something like that.
Because it was Christian for a long time. And so.
Yeah.
So anyway, I think the final good thing I have to say about Raw this week is that AJ is incredibly entertaining.
She's quickly turning into my favorite.
Yeah.
One, because she's freaking adorable. Like,
well, yes.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Like, and she's the only diva that could fit that description. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if the divas division have been like missing someone like that, but.
Well, honestly, it's because for the longest time, divas had like the only personality was sultry.
True.
You know, if you go to the best point in diva history, it was because Lita was not, you know, she was whatever punk rocker personality thing she had.
Yeah.
And it's not that she was, you know, she was very attractive and as much as the rest, but it was that she wasn't this one note character that every diva has been. And so
true.
And I don't think, you know, AJ isn't, and Beth Phoenix isn't, and Karma isn't. And so to, you know, now that we don't have seven Kelly Alicia Fox clones that are just rotating this, you know, tramp stamp belt around, there's it's interesting.
Just don't you dare say a bad word about Maryse.
Maryse was a clone. She was. She had no personality.
She had a French accent, and that was close enough.
She didn't.
You watch your tongue, sir.
She didn't. There was no character there. It was waste of space. So, anyway, that's Raw for this week. Like, we are. You know, barely into our planned time, but there's literally nothing to talk about.
No, I mean, just the ending, Brodus Clay versus Big Show, didn't happen.
That's honestly a match I'd be kind of interested in seeing.
Yeah, like I was excited when I heard about that.
And so,
but no, we had to have,
I mean,
Big Show attacking him and getting attacked by Kofi and R-Truth and him just demolishing everyone.
Yeah. I think the bell didn't ring so that they could technically keep Brodus as undefeated. But
basically, but without, you know, Big Show losing whatever momentum they think he has.
Yeah. I do not need Big Show in any kind of important story. And that's,
I don't need Big Show on my screen, period.
That's really why this was such a problem, was it was a Big Show centric episode.
Mm-hmm.
And Big Show works best as,
it's like a Family Guy corner episode about Meg.
Yep.
Exactly.
But I guess we'll move on to questions because we got the time, because there's nothing to talk about. Speaking of the video game.
Okay.
If you'll remember, at this time last year, WWE 12 was coming out, and it was the first one in that kind of lineup. It was SmackDown versus Raw before then.
Right.
And so, they were kind of touting it as their, you know, it's more than just a name change. It's, you know, we are revamping the entire game. This is how the future of wrestling games will be, blah, blah, blah. And it, you know, it was what it was, which was eh. And now this year, it seems that they're going with this revolution theme, which will be along the similar things, you know. And it's obviously, it is kind of because you don't need to buy this game every year since it's kind of the same game every year. You get the new wrestlers, but, you know, you really get new costumes, which should be downloadable content rather than $60 worth of new games. So my question is to you, what would you add to take away from this game, you know, to make it worth a yearly purchase or to make it worth buying this one again if you have already bought last year's?
What I would take away? THQ. that's just the glaring thing at this point. I don't have any... I mean, yeah, they say that they changed it, they revamped it or whatever, but from everything that I've seen, and I haven't played WWE 12, so maybe that has something to do with it, but from the looks of it and from what I've heard, it's exactly like all the SmackDown versus Raw games in the past. It's just been, you know, just the same old same. Same kind of format, same kind of graphics, basically. Right.
And
I always compare it to PS1 graphics. It doesn't even deserve to be PS2 graphics.
And you have 2007 and 2011, correct?
Something like that, yeah.
Because what you have is what we've played most extensively.
Yeah, and I got 2011 like right when I got my PS3.
Yes.
And just because I felt like I needed a wrestling game for
it. Right. I have played 12. Some, and it's, you know, I haven't actually taken the time to delve into all the features or anything, but I from what I've played, it's almost interchangeable.
Exactly. So basically what I would add is that they somehow get in the good graces of EA games.
Yes.
Because as far as, like, sports-related kind of video games, they are just king. Even, like, non-sports related stuff, like, what was it, Need for Speed, the last one that came out, was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just EA Games. I think that they would be perfect for this.
No, EA Games would make a stellar version of these games.
The only bad thing is, for some reason, WWE has some sort of alliance with THQ since the beginning, and it's just... they've outgrown them.
I have a speculation that EA Games might know their own worth and not be, you know, and have a price that WWE is not willing to pay.
Yeah, definitely. I'm pretty sure... Okay, first of all, if WWE isn't getting THQ services for cheap, then something's definitely wrong because it looks like they're getting what they're paid for. And it looks like WWE isn't exactly committed to... put a lot of money towards these video games, just kind of enough to, you know, the kids will buy them.
Right.
Leave it at that.
They're gonna get the same audience, and you know, and there will be an audience who will buy it every year, and who will buy it every year regardless. And you know, and you and I are still going to, you know, this year or next year probably go ahead and pick up the latest one, just to keep semi updated with the roster. You know.
Maybe. I don't know.
Not for the $60. I'm going to pick it up, you know, months after the fact.
You can get it for like 30.
Yeah. But, you know, because I don't want to, you know, continue to wrestle with the ass man. But.
There's that. And an interesting thing that I noticed when they unveiled the cover.
Mm-hmm.
There's a WWE Attitude sticker.
I saw the Attitude sticker.
You asked me, Joel. Now I ask you a question. What's up with that?
I don't know what's up with that. I saw it. It was on the John Laurinaitis one.
Right.
And then it was on the giant banner as well. And for a second...
CM Punk, like, he pointed at it for like a second. And he said something off mic. I couldn't make it out.
I thought for a second it was a WWF scratch, which, you know, they can't show. And so I thought somehow through some terrible twist of fate, you know, it had gotten stuck on there.
But was a WWE.
Yeah, on closer inspection, it is just the W scratch. And it might be, there might be, you know, it's possible to the point of probable that we are reading way too much into this, But, of course, you know, as we look towards hopefuls of what could happen over the summer, some sort of return to the more risque attitude point has been kicked around. Especially with a 3-hour Raw, it's very possible that, you know, Rey Mysterio and other kid-friendly wrestlers, two, you know, super best friends kind of guys, could wrestle in the 8-9 slot and then leave the later slot to, you know, the more adult themed wrestlers with, you know,
sign a dress.
the guys who can say the bad words and you know, show the blood.
Like poopy.
Yes, who can say the word poopy into a microphone. You know.
That's all we wanted. That's real wrestling right there. Someone saying poopy.
It's the weirdest thing to me when middle fingers get blurred just because of Stone Cold.
Yeah.
You know. and when crotch chops don't cross. When they are just indicators instead of actual crosses.
And what's
crosses.
Funny is that's what they used to do before they were technically DX.
Yeah.
That's what they originally did. And so, but then we're just so used to the X thing, so it's just... But every now and then, Triple H will do the uncrossing cross drop. And it's like...
I mean...
Why?
It'd be really cool if he, like, made some speech about how ever since Shawn retired... Like, it's not DX, and he's, you know, blah, blah, blah. But no, it's...
I cannot point to my crotch in the same manner ever again. My best friend left me. I cannot point to my crotch like that.
I'd get a little choked up. I'm dead serious. I mean...
Phrasing?
I mean, he couldn't say it like that, if he'd said it like that. I would throw stuff at the screen. But, like... If he did something really, really sentimental. Maybe that's what he was going to tell him when Sheamus knocked him out. That is, like, my greatest unanswered question is, what was Triple H going to tell Shawn Michaels at his retirement party?
And why didn't he say it later?
I know, he never...
Because he was at the end of the show. He was there. Because he did that awkward, you know, from behind hug to Shawn.
Yeah.
And then they put the glow sticks and the X on the stage and walked away.
It's never been brought up, and it was, like, such a lead-up. It was something he's never told Shawn in all their years of friendship, and we'll never know. If I could ask one thing, that would be it.
What do you think it is?
I don't know. It sounded like a coming-out-of-the-closet speech. Like, it really did.
Oh, God, it really did. Like, I had, like, a really, like, quick, like, flashback to Chuck and Billy back in the day when they were, you know, when that horrible, horrible, horrible thing was happening on... SmackDown and Eric Bischoff and no but yeah
no
not necessary not in this day and age no
if there was no limit, and I know this could never happen because there's only like a finite amount of stuff and they would never do this, but what I would really like to see in WWE 13 or onward is those storyline things that they do. I would like to see one for every wrestler.
Oh yeah, like you were talking,
like they had like
2011, they had the thing where you could be like Chris Jericho and it had like a storyline leading up to a certain point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, that would take up a lot of space on the game.
Yeah, there's no way they do it. I mean, this is...
But yeah, you're right. It would be good that they kind of played up to each character and like all their usual gimmicks and all their mannerisms and stuff. I think that would be a fantastic thing if they could ever pull that off.
Right. Because it would be fun to be able to be, you know, like, I'd love to take Yoshitatsu to main event WrestleMania. That'd be wildly entertaining to me.
Are you kidding? I had Chris Masters win every championship at WrestleMania on that game. And he was a DLC.
Did you pay the money for Chris Masters?
No, I think I can't remember if I unlocked him or if I paid for him.
I don't know.
I didn't pay for much. Like, usually I found online I could Yeah. I think it was, like, you had to, like, wrestle on a certain show and win a certain number of matches on a certain show in, like, the overall story mode.
Oh, yeah.
Because I remember I couldn't download Zack Ryder until, like, I won, like, 5 matches on Superstars.
Oh, Superstars.
Yeah.
Alright, but here's my other question for the day, this week. We talked about SmackDown, like, having a letdown, and I cited, and I don't think you disagree with me, that the Super Show has, you know, played a major role in the flaws that exist in SmackDown. So, you have the next, I'm gonna say, until SummerSlam, to fix SmackDown. Okay? You can do anything you want. I guess you can take away from Raw, but that's the lazy man's way to do it. So, with keeping the Super Show option there, how would you fix SmackDown by SummerSlam?
You said that taking from Raw would be the lazy man, or the lazy way out. I'm gonna go even lazier. Let the ship sink. I'm freaking done with it. Let the ship sink, dude. Like, throw out every ridiculous thing that you could possibly think of. Every script that was trashed for NXT, use that. Dig it up out of the trash and dust it off and flatten the paper out. Use that script. Stuff that wasn't even good enough for NXT.
You are opening a dangerous rabbit hole, sir.
I don't care.
No, you don't understand. Somewhere there is...
What, is some sort of wrestling monster going to come out of the rabbit hole and bite my head off?
There is some writer with a portfolio out there with a wrestling script that got cut for the Katie Vick storyline. So there was stuff where they decided was not as good as Katie Vick. And it's out there. And if you bring
I'm telling you, never undo it. If the ship's going to sink, let that sucker burn. Let it go on a blaze.
But, I mean, the thing is...
I don't care. Like, if something like that were to happen, I would watch it. And that just might save the show. But if it didn't, I'd be like, of course it didn't save the show. Look what they did!
But, I mean, rating...
You know, they had a... Isn't this the same show that Snitsky freaking punted a baby?
I love that baby pun.
Is that not correct?
I think you're right. I think it was on SmackDown.
Exactly. It's not like it would be a big step off from what they've been doing. They had a Christmas episode where Hornswoggle learned the ability to speak.
I like that Christmas episode.
It was horrible.
No, it was horrible. But it had Mick Foley on it, and I'll watch Mick Foley do anything. I will.
Anything?
Very close.
What? Yeah. Be careful on that rabbit hole that you're opening up.
I will watch him do anything that he has okayed for me to see. Nothing leaked. I don't need to see him anything that he's leaked. but if it's clear
Fair
that
enough.
Mick Foley did it with the intent of it being seen by the world, I'd be happy to watch it. I watched a lot of Mick Foley stand-up when that started popping up on the internet. So, yeah, I'll take it. By the way, I don't think the Bella Twins ever cashed in that kiss that they won on that episode.
No.
I think they left the company with that uncashed.
Maybe they wanted to, but no one was, like, okay with doing that on camera because, you know, gross.
That's just
me.
That was when they were all infatuated with Del Rio, but, you know, he had to go out for a green boo-boo. And so...
Maybe they settled that one off camera.
Here's...
That's what happened. That's how he pulled his wiener.
Here is the fatal flaw in your plan. The thing is...
I didn't even tell you my whole plan, but okay.
The thing is, SmackDown is pulling in totally fine ratings. You know, Sci-Fi is perfectly happy keeping it where it is.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. I was about to say for Sci-Fi, yeah.
I mean, yeah. But, and you know, wrestling is doing good, apparently... USA has wanted to do a 3-hour Raw for a long time, and WWE has been turning them down.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I don't think SmackDown's at no real risk of being canceled, and I don't think that WWE Creative is one for self-canceling due to poor quality. So
I wouldn't put it past Vince.
So if you throw everything against the wall, you will always have that wall, and things will continue to be thrown up against it. And it'll be canon. You can't take that back. You can't take that back.
I don't care. I want... think of all the crap those writers have already thrown at us. I want them to stick to these storylines and actually create continuity from them. And I was like, yep, you came up with the worst crap, and I'm going to make you stick to it. Mm-hmm. It's a little vengeful, I know.
Well, I would be really interested, in all honesty, if, like, SmackDown, if Vince stopped working on SmackDown, because I do think one of the problems is that one man has ultimate, like, yay and nay power for everything in the company.
One man has the ring to rule them all?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty
it's
much.
It's a squared circle of a ring, but...
Oh, so funny.
We got to be getting close to Vince is retiring, although, as CM Punk said, you know, it's quite possible he's going to work to the grave. But
wouldn't surprise me.
There are four shows in this company. If one of them could go into the complete control of somebody else, I'd be really interested to see,
which I kind of have a feeling that that's what NXT.
No,
is.
The thing is,
it doesn't feel like it's something that Vince has his thumb on,
right? And it seems to have a positive result.
So I mean, maybe I went to a slight extreme. Whatever, I would like them to do away with NXT and basically use that same, whatever the creative force is for that, and use that kind of concept with SmackDown. Because with Raw, we have a super show, everyone's on there anyway.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And all of the people who are basically mid to lower carders, who usually would get, like, you know, the between the hours, you know, spots on SmackDown, they're still going to get their spots over on whatever this new thing, they can still call it SmackDown, whatever, but basically have it to where, you know, they're being evaluated and, you know, being called up to the big show. Because, I mean, I think, you know, having kind of a statute system, maybe, I don't know what to call it. I don't want to say class system because that's just elitist.
Yeah, that's treading the line.
I know. But kind of having that point where people are trying to work to a certain level.
Right.
It kind of gives these matches a little bit more meaning that these guys are working towards something.
Right. I mean, I do think that WWE has the content to produce two great shows, and the problem is they have four shows. And so, and, you know, as much as you can call NXT and Superstar shows, but if they would take those and put them on SmackDown... and yeah, have a specific, you know, second string show, acknowledges the second string show that people are trying to get to the top string show. And
cause I mean, okay, I know, it all basically started whenever WWE launched their version of ECW.
Right.
Just having their own version and having that, I guess, love affair with a different network, with Sci-Fi, you know, leading to their relationship with them and leading to SmackDown moving over to them. And then since then, you know, ECW went to NXT, which was also on ECW, I believe.
It was on Sci-Fi,
but then,
yeah.
Or, yeah, it was also on Sci-Fi. And then it got moved to .com. And then, you know, they kind of had, like, this other love affair with WGN, which is, you know, it's not a great network. I love it because I get to watch Cubs games, but that's really the only draw to it. Other than that, it's just constant it's just constant, like, reruns of good shows.
I do not know where WGN is on my TV.
It's channel 98 here. And I only know that because of Cubs games.
Yeah.
And, you know, the first day I moved in, I was like, there's a Cubs game on today. Where is it? I must flip through all these channels. And, of course, they lost, but that's not the point. And then that relationship ended, and WGN didn't pick up their contract, and so it moved to .com. So now you have two shows that were on networks, but now they're on your website, which you don't even you don't need that anymore.
Right.
You don't. And so basically trying to, like you said, they're stretching themselves out way too thin with these four shows when they can just basically leave Raw the way it is with a super show where everyone can show up, whatever. And then basically you can condense whatever is going on in Superstars, NXT, and SmackDown, minus like the really big stuff involving the top tier guys. Throw all that on a SmackDown, and you've got a pretty good show.
Yeah.
I think, with the lower guys.
I think you could. I mean, so, plus, those would be the guys that don't have to headline pay-per-views and are still trying to make names for themselves. They would be taking the bigger risk, doing the more creative spots. You know, Raw is your storytelling show. It's furthering all your storylines, but SmackDown could be your wrestling show, you know,
right,
where you have longer matches and you have...
And you more know, absurd storylines,
yes.
Sure. And I mean, I know they can make the argument now, it's like, oh, we have those shows now because we want more online content, we want more content on our website, on YouTube. They have no shortage of online content.
Right.
They have, like, the background stuff and all these dopey shows that they've come up with. They have plenty of stuff to carry them over on YouTube and all that stuff. So,
I mean, the thing is with their YouTube shows, with the Inbox and with the Ziggles 0.0, whatever the actual name of that is, you know, these are not high produced shows. I mean, I'm sure NXT and Superstars are not that hard to do because they use the Raw audiences, the SmackDown audiences, and just, you know, change the banner on the ring. But, you know, these are really easy shows to have a lot of content really quickly. You know, it's not like they have to go slowly here. Here they can make a backlog really quickly. To go in another direction, here was my bold statement of what to do with SmackDown.
Let it burn.
That's not let it burn. Hold one more draft. You know, clearly the draft is almost completely irrelevant at this point, since everybody's on Raw anyway. But, you know, maintain your facade for one more draft and put Cena on SmackDown for real this time. I think that this is, you know, for the first point in a long time, you can carry an episode of Raw without having to have your Cena 10 o'clock pop. I think, you know, with CM Punk, you have your main guy there already. And it's not like Cena can't show up every week on Raw anyway because of the Super Show.
Super Show, yeah.
I think SmackDown is, you know, it's less risky since it's not live anyway. It comes on at 8 instead of 9. It could just easily be your, you know, fun for the kids show. Mysterio's already on that, even though he's been taking hiatus. So,
hiatus,
yeah, there's lots of syllables in that word. You never knew that, did you?
Wow, okay.
So, yeah, you bring back Mysterio. When Sin Cara comes back, he goes there. Cena goes there. And that's your SmackDown powerhouse right there.
Can we throw Big Show back?
Yeah, Big Show. No, that's for the kids. SmackDown's for the kids.
Fantastic. We could throw Khali there, too.
No, Khali goes nowhere. Khali sits in a corner and thinks about it, what he's done.
No, Khali goes somewhere. It's just really slowly. Did you see that last week?
He got
the biggest head start, and yet even Brodus Clay blew past him.
That cracked me up. It was the highlight of the week last week.
Just everybody
was running except for Khali. And Gottlieb was just lumbering at the slowest pace.
And it's
pace.
Like, by the time he got there, there was nothing left to do.
Which it is a good thing.
Which is a great thing for him and his knees.
Yes, but, oh, man. No, Kali does not get to be on my Dream SmackDown. If I could have a nice, normal Jinder Mahal who wasn't this...
racist?
Yes, this terrible stereotype.
A racial caricature? Yeah.
He might be. I don't know. I've never been able to actually see him for a decent wrestler or promo guy.
Yeah, because before he got this current persona, he was just the guy who feuded with Great Khali.
Yeah, and that's not
and
fair.
Yeah, no one can really show off what they've got against him.
Right. So.
So yeah, whoever knows, like, I've never seen him in the ring, like, decently. So.
Yeah. Who knows? I've never seen him fail in the ring. That's the thing. Is like, I've never seen a point where I can say that's why this guy should not be a superstar, because here is where he messes up.
I mean, from what I've seen against, like, other people usually jobbing, it just seems like he has nothing to just stand him apart from the rest. He just seems very bland in the ring.
Yeah. And so I think that there are a lot of guys that, and that's always going to be a problem, is the amount of superstars there are. And they can't all be top tier guys. But I think now the fact that you don't have to pander towards voters because nobody's going to Congress, I think you can acknowledge that you do appeal to kids, and here's everybody that appeals to kids hanging out over here. And you do, you know, here's the more, you know, big boy humor. And they used to do that. At one point they had, you know, Monday Night Raw, and then they had the Saturday shows for the kids. That was, like, re-edits of stuff.
Oh, yeah, I used to watch those.
So, I think that's... I
loved Livewire.
Yeah, Livewire.
Hosted by Jonathan Coachman.
I do not remember that. I do not know how you remember what? That.
Because I remember, because I would like always, I would spend a lot of my Saturday mornings at my best friend's house. Mm. Like, I would stay over at their house, and, you know, you'd sit there and eat, like, some microwave breakfast foods.
Yeah, we played Banjo-Kazooie. We did not watch Livewire.
That was what we did in the morning, like, because it was, you know, it was... I can't remember what time it was, but I do remember it was in the morning, and that's, you know, basically how we woke up, and then, you know, then we'd go outside and, you know...
Outside? Huh.
Beat the crap out of each other. I was all about some outside.
I did watch...
That's where we had our own little wrestling matches.
Yeah. I did watch Pokemon in Saturday morning, and I watched Digimon. And for a long time, those were back-to-back, and then they stopped being back-to-back, and, like, something terrible was in the half hour in between them, and that's when I stopped watching Digimon, because I wouldn't sit through that half hour of whatever that terrible show was.
Do you know what I remember watching Saturday mornings?
What?
Saved by the Bell, The New Class.
The New Class, oh.
Yeah, with Screech as, like, the assistant principal.
And
it was, like, another one that I can't remember the name of. It was, like, two guys. It was, like, when Anthony Anderson first, like, that was the first time I ever saw
him. Oh, is that City Guys?
And it was, like, centered around two best friends. Like, one was a white kid, and the other one was a black kid. And they were both, like, on the basketball team.
I think that's City Guys.
And I think Anthony Anderson was on
that
it.
That might have been it, yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, I remember watching that one.
Saturday morning television. Oh, to wrap this back around here to wrestling, because
okay.
I'm going to do it.
Okay.
Something I would pay lots of money for is an update to Hogan's Rock and Wrestling with the current roster as a cartoon.
Okay.
I would get up every day and watch that. I would buy marshmallow-induced cereal. It would be terrible and amazing.
You do that, I will sleep.
Are you kidding? You would not watch, like, CM Punk's
later,
Rock and,
like,
Wrestling?
On the internet, maybe.
No, that... I really want a revamp of that. So.
You go for it, buddy. You pitch that.
On that note, I think that's our episode for this week.
We've truly reached the bottom of the barrel.
So until next week, when I hope that
something happens or we have something to talk about. And if something does happen, you can always message us at classyrigattire@gmail, tweet us at CRattire, or and follow us as well.
Yes.
And you could follow us on Tumblr, and Joel can tell you about that.
At classyrigattire.tumblr.com.
Do it.
Follow us everywhere.
Tell your friends.
It's all got wrestling content on it. So, that's for us. Until next week, stay classy, and huzzah.
Huzzah.